So Christmas is getting closer and closer and closer. You know, we're only 10 days away from Christmas. And the kids, you guys getting excited about Christmas? Emmy, you getting excited? She's getting bashful, I think. About the big kids, you guys getting excited about Christmas? Getting in that Christmas spirit? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking something about excitement and joy. Actually, the third Sunday of Advent, we're talking about joy today. As mentioned here, you know, I should probably put Avery's pictures up on this too to start us out. She's been putting a lot of hard work into those pictures that she's been putting out for us every week, and they're awesome. But it is the third week of Advent. We're going to reflect on joy, and it's the joy that people are experiencing because of a baby born in a stable. A baby that people have been waiting on. But the joy that people still have today because of that baby as well, and who he was and who he still is. So Janet read our scripture for us this morning. It's Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And as we discuss and reflect on this passage, let's not look only for joy in the easy and obvious places, but look for the interesting, even ironic places in our scripture this morning. And those events that make these events so joyful. It may sound to be an understatement, you know, to say that our God's pretty amazing and the things that he does is amazing, but let's reflect even deeper into some stuff that we may have overlooked over the years, through what's really bringing us or bringing joy into this into this passage. He does some amazing things, and the way he does them can make us scratch our heads and wonder sometimes. Now, most of the time, probably. But let's get to it. So as we get into Luke 2, up to this point, you know, very few people really knew, I would say, about this baby, but you know, when they hit Bethlehem, it was about time for what? Her to have this baby. So, you know, a lot of people knew the baby was on the way. But very few people really probably knew who this baby was or what the purpose was for this baby that was coming. You know, Mary and Joseph knew because, well, God sent an angel to them, right? Say, hey, this is what's going on, and I want you to be part of this. And Mary was like, you know, may your will be done, you know, use me. And warned Joseph, saying, hey, don't send her, I want you to be a part of this too. It's the awesome part of our God is that he gives heads up on these things like that. Especially the people that he wants to use. I think of also, you know, Elizabeth. You know, we read this story to the kids at Spark, and I started way back in chapter 1 of Luke, where they're foretelling the birth of John the Baptist, who was what, like a cousin to Jesus, right? And it says that when Mary found out that she was going to be pregnant, she went and saw Elizabeth, who was in her old age and barren, but having a child. It reminded, I even got the kids, they were reminded of like Sarah, who was having this child in her old age. But as soon as Mary walked in the door, it's like the baby leapt for joy in Elizabeth's stomach, in her belly, in her womb. So Elizabeth recognized who this was, and it sounds like John knew who it was before he was even born. But other than that, there's probably not a whole lot of people that knew who this baby was. And we often reflect, especially on this passage, of who were the first ones to hear about the coming of the baby? It's not a trick question, go ahead. The shepherds, right? Shepherds were out watching their flocks by night. And the angels came, like they did Joseph, like they came to Mary, like they came to Zechariah, which was John the Baptist's dad. All these messengers bringing this great news and these things about don't be afraid, and this is what God's got in mind, and he wants you to be a part of it. But the shepherds out there. So we're going to talk about joy in the eyes of the shepherds, the angels, and then also another place this morning. But let's start with the shepherds. What do we often think about the shepherds, especially with back in Palestine in Jesus' time? How are they thought of? What's the popular conception here or idea? Were they popular guys? No? Lowly? What else? They were dirty, stinky, smelly. That comes with being a farmer probably sometimes, right? Even if you've been on a tractor all day, apparently all you need to do is drive to Lima and you work up a stench, was what I was told yesterday. I don't know. But Megan says, get away from me. I said, I showered. She goes, yeah, but you drove to Lima. I'm like, yeah, it was strenuous too. It was horrible. But, you know, so, but you get this idea also that lowly, sometimes they're thought of as thieves and all this stuff. But let me ask you something. If we read through Scripture, who are some pretty famous shepherds throughout the Bible? David. Let's start at the beginning. Who was the first one mentioned? Abel. What about Abraham? Abraham had many sons and many flocks, by the way. Jacob. Because when Joseph ended up in Egypt, right? And then he brought his family into Egypt to take care of him in that famine, he says, tell Pharaoh that you guys are all shepherds, keepers of flocks. They don't like you guys. They'll send you to this other place where you can be by yourselves. See, the Egyptians didn't like shepherds either. But yeah, David had to come. They had to wait. Samuel had to wait for him to come in from the field, from the flocks, to anoint him as the next king of Israel. And something else. The shepherds around Bethlehem, I just found this one out, were known to have been keepers of the flocks of the temple. They were the ones that took care of the sacrificial lambs of the temple. This is an important job. It really makes me rethink this whole idea of the shepherds and how they were thought of. Let's kick in one more. What does Jesus say about himself in John 10? He says, I am the good shepherd. Got it here somewhere. That's about John. That's about Abel. Here we go. John 10, verses 14 to 17. Jesus speaking here, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. In other words, Gentiles that aren't just Jews. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. You know, one of the things that David said about being when he was talking with Saul, right? When he was talking about being a shepherd, he says, you know, I've gone after lambs that have gone astray or they've been taken by lions and bears, and I fought these guys off to get that lamb back. And Jesus says, I lay down my life for my flock as well. What did Jesus think about shepherds? He says, I am one. Because I care for my flock like this. So what if we flip the whole idea of the shepherds on the hill, and where we can find that joy that came to them of saying that God sent these messengers, these angels, to deliver a message to shepherds about the greatest shepherd ever to come. But he chose shepherds to tell it. So I'm picking one of you. Now you could be talking about mankind. He could be talking about men. Fully God, fully man, as Janet read this morning. But also a shepherd of my flock. Maybe that was kind of ringing in their head. And what joy that these angels would show up. Of course, when they showed up, what do we see? Fear, right? It's not something you see every day when you're out hanging out on a hill at night. You know, it's probably really dark out. And the glory of the Lord shined among them. Just picture the whole place lighting up. That sentence about the glory of the Lord, you know, appearing. Just enough to say, that there was no doubt that God's presence was there. It could have been just that one angel, but then a multitude of angels showed up to tell them this news. So let's look at the joy, maybe, of the angels. Do you think they had joy in this moment? Why wouldn't they? The angels got to be the first ones to actually deliver the gospel. I bring you good news. I got that one up here. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of them. Also, it wasn't just the one. It wasn't to begin with. But then a multitude to glory. To glorify God through all of this. They're like, we get to bring the good news to mankind of what's going on, what God has in mind, what God's doing right now. So think of the joy that the angels got out of this. Enough that a whole multitude of them showed up, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom He's pleased. As I was thinking about the multitude of angels, I thought of another piece of scripture that was going through my head at this, and it was the one that has myriads and myriads. You guys remember that one? Thousands and thousands of angels. It's Revelations. Revelation 5, 11 and 12 says, then I looked, this is John speaking, the Apostle John, you know, he said, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, millions of these angels in a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is, like he still is, but he was slain. But he is. It's Jesus. Born, died, risen again. But the angels glorifying God in heaven. This is a heavenly scene right here. Think of the joy that they get. These angels get to bask in His presence all the time. And what do? They do this. Glorify Him. Then when it's time to give us some good news, for the first time, He sends them and says, let's go glorify Him there. I didn't reflect on the devotion a whole lot until you read it there. I kept thinking of the word bridge. Because that's what these angels did. That's what Jesus does. Is bridges that gap between us and God. He's our mediator. He's the linchpin. So think of the joy that the angels got out of this. So what about us? Before I move on to anything else here, what about us? Where's the joy for us today? Is our job really so different than these angels that showed up on the hill 2,000 some years ago? Get to speak Jesus into people's lives and show that Spirit into people's lives and just be thankful that we have that opportunity because of what was done for us. Started out with a baby in a manger. Like I said, you wouldn't think much of a baby in a manger. As I was reading that story to the kids Monday, I was in front of the big manger scene. They're just inside the door to the fellowship hall, and it gets to that part where it's saying a baby wrapped in. It didn't say swaddling cloths, it said snuggly strips of cloth. But you look at the baby Jesus that's in that manger, and there's like one strip of cloth around Him, just you know, protecting His waist, as it were. I said, you know, that doesn't seem very snuggly to me. And Sophie's looking down at another one on one of the tree skirts. She goes, well, there's more there. I said, yeah, but there's a lot of skin. She says, don't these people want their kid warm? We get the idea. But the idea in the manger, you know, this is going to be a king, and he's born in a lowly stable and laying in a manger, and getting the kids to realize this is a place where you feed animals. They eat out of this. And they don't exactly wash their faces and hands, you know, when they go and eat, right? It's just one of those amazing things that God uses to bring joy and glory and things that we wouldn't think of, to get our attention. Yeah, the shepherds were still considered unclean, kind of lowly, because of things they did. They took care of animals. They smelled funny. They, you know, they were different characters. Maybe that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be different characters. Maybe that's why the angels were so happy too. Says these guys aren't like the rest of mankind, because they're gonna glory in this and they're gonna appreciate it. Over and over again, in some messages that I've been hearing here lately, they talk about how Christianity flips the whole idea of social justice is one of the things. But you know, it says that we favor the rich, but God doesn't work that way. It's over and over again in Scripture, He favors the poor, because who appreciates more of being saved than someone who really has no hope of being saved? The strong and mighty and rich, you know, they can take care of themselves. I can pay for it. I can work my way out. But those that can't and that have stuff done for them appreciate it so much more. It says, if anything else, Christianity embraces the poor, embraces the lowly, because it elevates them. And over again, Scripture brings down the proud. You notice where we end up? We end up on the same playing field. And when we realize that and bring ourselves into that humble service of God, you know, we can be like these angels that are numbering thousands and thousands, spreading that glory and sharing that love and that message, that good news, to folks who desperately need it. Look at the reaction of those shepherds after it says, and then the angels return to heaven, and the shepherds go, well, let's get out of here. Let's go see what happened. They weren't like, let's wait till daylight. You know, it's a little dark out. Let's go. They were excited. There's great joy to be had at being a servant, a humble servant of God. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. We've talked about that many, many times. In fact, if we're doing it right, it's probably not going to be easy. But it'd be worth it. Paul tells us, says, you know, I don't see clearly now. You know, what I see now, I see dimly. Someday I'm going to see perfectly. God is going to open my eyes to everything that He had planned. But for right now, I just need to work with what I've got. What I got might not be the best, but it's the best that I can give. What did that say at the end of that song? Remember? It said something about gifts from God, but not using them. And I forget what it said on that tune, but that we watched. James tells us, if you've got a mission, and you've got the skills, and you've got the things that God calls you to do, and you don't do them, that's sin on you. And these shepherds were like, we got to go get this out of ourselves. We got to go tell people. And look at the joy just from telling people about what happened. You're never going to believe this, but this just happened to us. How many people can tell stories like that today? Thousands and thousands. You're never going to believe this, but this happened to me. Really great friend of mine told me about just having this God experience in his life where he was really down, but he says, but then all of a sudden he just felt this warmth coming right up his arms, like he couldn't explain it. And he's crying while he's telling me this, but not tears of sadness, you know? It was one of those where he's like, let me see if I can get through this. And I'm like, dude, You're never going to believe this, but this is what happened to me. We can still tell stories like that today and have this kind of joy in our lives because of what happened on that cross. Now, what about this aspect of joy? Do you think God has joy? We're made in His image, right? It says in Scripture, God created man in His image, which means we have characteristics of God. God's a jealous God. We get jealous. We're not supposed to. Well, we do. I mean, come on, let's face it. God gets angry. We get angry. It's a just anger. Ours isn't always. His is. But yeah, of course God is happy and joyful. So, without sounding heretical here for a second, I want you to put yourselves in God's shoes for a second, okay? Make it up. It ain't happening, but just put yourself in God's shoes in this situation for a second. I've got great news that I want to send down to some people. And I'm gonna send somebody to go, I want to do something really great for this group of people or this one person. You know, think of God thinking this, okay? And I'm going to send people to tell them exactly where to go and exactly what they're going to see and exactly what it means. And then I'm going to sit back and watch what happens. And as you're reading this scripture or hearing this scripture or thinking about this scripture this morning, picture what God was picturing as He was watching this all unfold. Angels singing His glory. Shepherds excited and running off to Bethlehem to see a kid in a manger that no one else would care about if God hadn't have told them. Everybody would have thought, they're broke. They're not worth my time. These shepherds were like, no, He's going to be the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He's going to be the King. So picture yourself in God's presence here and what's going through His head. Metaphorically speaking. What are you picturing? Anything? Smile? Laughs? Pure joy? Maybe that radiant glory outshine the sun, you know? The S-U-N sun, not the S-O-N sun. Because it shined on Him. Ah. So God gets joy out of this whole equation as well. So now we got shepherds, us, mankind. We've got angels. We've got God all sharing in joy in this one point in history. Let's use the word history here. And we're still talking about it because we still get to share this same joy. And we focus on that on this third week of Advent, but that joy is a year-round, everyday thing in our lives. A time to reflect, a time to be thankful, a time to just enjoy life. That's pretty much what God has done here. And I certainly think God can feel and experience joy because He gave us that ability and He shared that with us. So joy to the world is the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's the joy that came to this world. Joy to the world is the flock that He saved and those who will be saved as we continue to share the good news of great joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for joy in our hearts. The joy that we can share in and experience by being part of Your great and wonderful family. And also taking part, an active part in the mission of that family and just sharing Your Spirit with others through our lives, through our words, through our deeds. But Father, help us make those connections and not just be passive about it, but be active in that faith. Aggressive even sometimes. Bold, that we may sing glory to You when we see people accepting You. Or growing deeper in you, Father. And we just thank you so much for this time that we can reflect on that, the joy that we have in our lives because of you and because of Jesus, that baby that you sent into the world to die on our behalf, to die to pay for our sins, but then to take his life back to show us that we have that hope as well, that hope of eternity with him and with you in heaven. And what great joy we can have through that as well, Father. We thank you so much for that. So, Father, we just ask your presence to continue with us. Help us see those opportunities to spread joy into other people's lives like you've shared it into ours. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you always. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.